And we're holding on to Zion Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. And we started talking yesterday about Birkas Chasamim, which are the Sheva Brachas. So now talking about more details involving them. Tana Rabbanan, Mevorchen Birkas Chasanim Ba'asara. We make the Birkas Chasanim only with a minion. Kol Shiva, and you say it throughout the 7 days. We said yesterday, actually, that this that you need a minion. We brought a couple of different psukim for that. This that we said you need it all the 7 days. We said that was specifically if either the chosen or the kala hasn't been married before. Otherwise, we said if both of them have been married before, then we have only 1 day of Sheva Brachas, and we talked about there's still 3 days of simcha. So Amar of Yehuda v'ushabo ponim chadoshes. So Rav Yehuda says that you only say you only say all the brachas during the 7 days only if you have ponim chadoshes. So first of all, Rashi explains it means that every day you have somebody who wasn't there yesterday, which the Meiri points out. It comes out from Rashi's Lashon. It means that if somebody was there 2 days ago, then they still count as ponim chadoshes today. However, that's not accepted. That's not accepted lahalacha. Really, really, the post can talk about it means somebody who wasn't there before. Tosfos says it would have to be somebody for whom you increase the simcha because they're coming. Posts can talk about, for example, if you have a woman who was there, who's there, who wasn't there before, or a child, they're not chayev in Sheva Brachos, they're not chayev in these mitzvahs, would they count as ponim chadoshes? Would we say that nevertheless the simcha is being enhanced because of them? Doesn't have to be, they talk about that davka. It is that the simcha is enhanced because of the new person, just that they're a person that you would enhance the simcha because of them, even if you practice it's not. Tosfos also mentions the famous idea that Shabbos is considered ponim chadoshes because everybody has, so to speak, a new face on Shabbos. Well, actually, what Tosfos says is because also recovered Shabbos, you increase the amount of simcha and the amount of suda. So the Rambam mentions in that connection, then in principle, then the night and day meals of Shabbos can be considered ponim chadoshes, but shalosh shudras not necessarily. And then he talks about maybe after a shalosh shudras, because they say a drosha over there, maybe that counts as ponim chadoshes. So you have a good deal of discussion about the ins and outs of ponim chadoshes. Exactly, we're all familiar with the concept. We have all the time by people are making a sheva brachas and they ask you to come, so you'll be a ponim chadoshes. But the details are actually a little more complicated than that. No, but that's the thing, actually. So when they're saying, we want you here because we need you, really what it is based on what Tosfos is saying over here, they're saying, you being here will enhance our simcha to the degree that now we can be saying all the brachas. But you have also, for example, what happens if a person was there by the chuppah and heard the sheva brachas over there, but then wasn't there for the suda after the chasana? Or what if he was there for the suda and didn't stay for the sheva brachas? And there's all kinds of different interesting variations like that the post can talk about. What would be considered ponim chadoshes? What would not?
This concept that we have to increase the simcha before making a bracha is very unique. I mean, you don't see that anywhere else.
Well, what we're going to say is when you don't have ponim chadoshes, you still have a sheva brachas. You just don't say all sheva brachas. You don't say all the brachas because you already said them by the wedding, after all. So only if you have ponim chadoshes, since those people are increasing your simcha, or some posts can put it, because those people haven't heard the brachas, then therefore you have sort of, so to speak, an excuse to say the brachas again. We're going to see further on in the Gemara that if there's no ponim chadoshes, you still have a celebration and you still say one of the brachas, you just don't say all seven of them.
For the other brachas, they're just like
the other brachas of Batala. Because you already said them at the wedding. So therefore, you're not really accomplishing anything by saying them again. Okay, so let's go through them. My mevorich. So what are the actual brachas? What's the nusach? Rabbi Yehuda, the first one is baruch. First of all, we're not counting the bracha on wine. When we say sheva brachas, we mean including the bracha on the wine. We're not counting that. We're talking about the other six. So the first one is Amar of Yehuda, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Bara L'Chavodo, that Hashem created everything for His glory. So Rashi explains this first one and the second one actually are not really directly connected with the wedding. Only from the Baruch Asher Yotzer Asa Adam Betzalmai are we talking about Betzalim Dmus Tavmise V'Hiskelim Emet Binyan Adead. That one already we're talking about that Hashem created Chava out of Adam's body, and therefore that's the first one that really is relevant to the wedding. The other two, Rashi explains, that what it is the bracha shahakol baral chvodo is more in honor of the fact that you have a tzibur, that you have a kohol gathering over here. So Hashem created all, Hashem created everyone who's here for his glory. And the second one, v'yotzer ha'adam, the second one is baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech ha'olam yotzer ha'adam. So that one also, in a certain sense, is not directly about the wedding. It's more as a preface to the next bracha, which is the third bracha, which is the first one that has directly to do with the wedding, is asher yotzer ha'adam b'tzalmai, Hashem created man in his image, b'tzalem d'mus tavnisei, in the image of the appearance of his form, meaning the form that Hashem decided that a human being should have, that Hashem created Adam according to that master plan of his. The hiskim lemi menu binyan ade ad, and he set up for him out of himself an everlasting edifice, meaning that Hashem took part of Adam and made Chava out of it, and then he married them to each other, and they have an everlasting edifice in the sense that people have children, and their children have children, and so forth, and therefore the effect of that marriage lasts forever. So now we're saying that bracha in honor of the chosin and kala, in honor of the wedding that went, and we finish off baruch atah Hashem yotzer ha'adam, blessed are you Hashem who formed man. Now, so Rashi explains a couple of nuances that we have in the bracha so far. The first two shahakol baruch chvodo and yotzer ha'adam are short brachas in the sense that each one of them has only one basic theme in it. And the rule is, as we talked about yesterday, that such a bracha, you don't end with another baruch. The same way as you make a bracha on a piece of food, you don't say baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam borei min ha'mazonos, baruch atah Hashem borei min ha'mazonos, or something like that, because it's a one theme bracha. It doesn't require a second bracha, a chosem. It's called the end. So with the brachas shehakol baruch chvodo and yotzer ha'adam are short brachas like that. Therefore, they don't get a second baruch. On the other hand, when it comes to Asher Yotzer HaSa'adam B'Tzalmai, that's slightly longer. That's talking about two themes. Number one, that Hashem created man according to the image that he planned for him. And number two, that he created Chava out of him. So therefore, that bracha, therefore, is considered a long bracha. And therefore, it gets an after bracha at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaAdam. Rashi also points out, now we have a rule when we have a series of brachas, one after the other, only the first one begins with Baruch and the other ones do not. For example, in benching, for example, in Shemona Esrei, the first bracha of the sequence begins Baruch Atah Hashem, but the other ones just begin with whatever they get into the actual matter of the bracha itself. So here, why do we have Shehakol Baruch Chvodo and Yotzer HaAdam and Asher Yotzer HaSa'adam B'Tzalmai? Why do all three of those begin with Baruch? So Rashi explains again, because since Shehakol Baruch Chvodo and Yotzer HaAdam are not really there, are not really of the theme of the wedding. We have them there. Shehakol Baruch Chvodo is basically to thank Hashem for all the people who gathered here for the wedding, and Yotzer HaAdam is basically as an introduction to the following bracha. If we're going to talk about in the next bracha how Hashem created Chava, then we kind of need a bracha before that to talk about the fact that Hashem first created Adam. Otherwise, like you're mentioning only the second thing and not the first. So therefore we have a separate bracha for the creation of Adam, but that one is not really part of the brachas of the wedding per se. The brachas of the wedding per se begin with Asher Yotzer Adam, Asher Adam B'Tzalmai. Therefore, Rashi says that is why each of those three begins with Baruch, because in a certain sense, they don't really belong to a sequence. Tosfos gives a different reason. Tosfos says because those are the brachas, Shehakol Baruch Chvodo and Yotzer HaAdam, as we're saying, those short brachas. If you didn't start each one of them with Baruch Atah Hashem, you would think that it's a continuation of the previous bracha. You would think that Yotzer HaAdam is part of the bracha Shehakol Baruch Chvodo. You would think that Asher Yotzer HaSa'adam B'Tzalmai is part of the bracha Yotzer HaAdam. Especially those two are on the same theme, basically. So therefore, each one of those has to separately begin with Baruch. Then after that, once we've said Baruch for the Asher Yotzer HaSa'adam B'Tzalmai, then the following brachas, except for the last one, which we'll talk about in a minute, why that is, all the next few ones after that, Sois Tosis and Samach to Samach, those don't need to begin with Baruch anymore because we already began the sequence with Baruch. Tosfos Reed B'chalal says, you know, another point is, in general, when we talk about that a series of brachas, you don't begin each one with baruch, that's when the brachas themselves are longer brachas. Like, again, the ones of Shemina Esrei or benching or what have you. Here, Shahako Baruch Zvodia and Yotzeh Adam are one-line brachas, so the rule about not beginning with baruch after them doesn't apply, so therefore the next bracha after them does, as opposed to Yotzeh Adam is already a longer bracha, Asher Yotzeh Adam Metzalma is a longer bracha. So is Tosis is a longer bracha. Samach to Samach is a longer bracha. Therefore, each one of them doesn't have to have baruch after it, with the exception of the last one, which we'll explain in a second why. Okay, so the next bracha is Sois Tosis for Sogilah. Whenever we have a simcha, we always have to mention Yerushalayim. We always have to mention how Yerushalayim is destroyed and ask Hashem to rebuild her. So we continue, Sois Tosis for Sogil HaKara. Rejoice, may you make rejoice and make glad the barren one. Yerushalayim is called an Apsukim barren because her children are gone from her, and but they're there in Golos, and we're here in Golos, and we're going to come back. And then the Pasuk describes when a barren woman, where all of a sudden her children are streaming to her from all sides. B'kibbutz banehal l'seichem b'simcha, when her children gather together to her in simcha. And we finish off the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mesameach Tzion b'vaneha, that you gladden Tzion with her children. Marsha, by the way, refers to a Gemara elsewhere where a min asks, "What do you mean? How can a barren woman ever have children? If you're saying that Yerushalayim is described as barren, then what do you mean? There's going to be children." And he explains what it really means is Yerushalayim is barren of bereft of children who are going to wind up in Gehenna. Unlike people like you, he says to the min, where you're winding up in Gehenna, Tzion has this going for her that her children, the ones who she has now and the ones who are going to gather to her in the future, are not winding up in Gehenna. So we're mentioning that. We're mentioning that point in this bracha and asking Hashem to actually take us out of Golos and let us have that ultimate simcha. Then we continue, Samach to Samach Re, the next bracha, Samach to Samach Reim Ha'avurim, gladdening, may you gladden the beloved friends, meaning the Chasin and Kala, Kesamech Ha'yitzircha B'Gan Eden B'Kedem, just like you gladden your creation, Adam, in Gan Eden of Kedem. The word Kedem actually has two meanings. It means earlier, it means in earlier times. It also means on the east side, because that's where the Pasuk says that Hashem planted the garden in Eden on the east side and placed Adam and Chava there. So that bracha is now we're talking. This is a bracha that Hashem should gladden the Chosin and the Kala right now with each other, just like Hashem gladdened Adam and Chava when Hashem created Adam and then created Chava out of him, and then Hashem was the Shushvin. Hashem, so to speak, acted as the groomsman and brought them together and arranged the wedding. So that one Rashi explains is the bracha really is not so much for the happiness right now. That one is a bracha that they should continue to be happy throughout their life. That's samach to samach rei ma'hov, and they should always be the beloved friends, and they should always be besimcha with one another. And we finish off baruch atah Hashem besameach chosen v'chala. Rashi explains. Now the next bracha is going to end with Sameach Chosin Ima Kala. That suggests specifically the relationship of husband and wife. Here we're talking about more generally that they should have simcha, not just with each other, but in general that they should have simcha and atzlacha throughout their life. Therefore, we end off with Sameach Chosin V'chala, that Hashem gladdens the Chosin and the Kala, as if, like, so to speak, separately. Not that they're going to have a life together, but each one on their individual. On their individual level, should have sasin and should have simcha. Then the last bracha goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. Now, this one does begin with Baruch, and the reason is this goes back to the Panim Chadoshes thing we were talking about before. We said that if there's no Panim Chadoshes, and the Gemara is going to explain this further down on the Amud, if there's no Panim Chadoshes, this is the only bracha that you say by the subsequent Sheva brachas. So you would say all seven of them, these six plus Baruch Priya Gofen under the Chuppah. Then afterwards, any day when you don't have Panim Chadoshes, you're benching, and then you're only saying this bracha. So therefore, this bracha comes by itself, not always as part of a sequence. Therefore, it begins Baruch Atah Hashem separately. So the bracha goes, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher bara sasim v'simcha chosin v'chala, that Hashem created gladness and happiness and chosin and kala, gila rina ditza chedva, these are all various synonyms for joy and singing, av of achva, love and friendship, v'shalom v'reyos, and peace and brotherhood. Mehera Hashem Alakenu Yisham Ba'or Yehuda B'chotzes Yerushalayim. Let there be heard very quickly Hashem in the cities of Yehuda and in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Kol Sasim B'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasim B'Kol Kala. The voice of the sound of happiness and gladness, the sound of the Chasim and of the Kala. Kol Mitzalas Chasanim Mechopasim, the sound of the joyous shouts of Chasanim from the Chopas. Unaorim Mimishtein Gnosam, and young men from the drinking parties where they're singing. Baruch Atah Hashem Sameach Chasan Ima Kala, and we finish off, blessed are you Hashem, who makes the Chasan happy with the Kala. So this one, Rashi explains, this one is particularly that we're thanking Hashem for the concept of for creating the concept of marriage and Chasan and Kala being happy with each other. Therefore, we finish off with Sameach Chasan im HaKala. In other words, that here we're talking about the happiness that the Chasan and the Kala have together. Therefore, we use the word im as opposed to the previous one. Sameach Chasan the Kala was basically saying that Hashem should give Simcha to the Chasan throughout his life and Simcha to the Kala throughout her life. There are, by the way, those are the neschoes of the brachas. If you look in the Sidurim Dach, you have there's a whole section over there, Shar HaNisurin, and there's many maimorim one after the other where the Alter Rebbe explains many different nuances in these brachas. Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Chassidus, talking about the idea that the chosen, we talked about this briefly yesterday, the idea that the chosen is mashpia bracha to the that through the chosen the bracha, the Hashem is mashpia bracha to the kala, whereas we know in many places in the Chassidus, the chosen represents zah and the kala represents malchus, and nowadays the chosen is on the surface on a higher level, and therefore we talk about Mesameach Chosan V'Chala, like he comes first, and therefore we only have Koyo Chosan. We see when it comes to the Kedushin, only the Chosan says something, the Kala says nothing, but we're going to have L'Osid Lover, we're going to have the Kala is going to be higher, and the Kever to Soviv Gover. Therefore we say Mesameach Chosan Im HaKala, but like the Chosan is, so to speak, secondary to the Kala, he's with the Kala, but she's the primary one, she has a Koyo at that point, which is why we mentioned Mesameach Chosan Im HaKala. And he goes on and explains in great detail about many of the details of these brachas over here. One point is, the Alter Rebbe makes in those maimorim, is that in general, any bracha that we talked just before, what Rashi and Tosfos say about the halachic reasons why it is that the brachas are structured as they are, why some of them begin with baruch and don't end with it, why some of them don't, the other way around, and some of them both. The Alter Rebbe discusses the idea being when we say baruch, we mean that we're drawing down hamshacha milamayla. The word baruch means is related to a word that is talked about in many places of Siddur, is related to a word that is related to a word brecha, which means a spring of water that then you're drawing water from it. It's also related to the word hamavrich, which means when you bend down a branch of a tree and bury the end of it in the dirt, so eventually it forms a new tree. So therefore, it symbolizes hashpa of Hashem to us. So therefore, some of these brachas, where we're talking about that hashpa, and then we begin them with the word baruch, and we say many times there's always the concern that whenever you have hashpa milamayla, you always have yinika sachitzo, you always have the possibility of yinika sachitzoinim, that there may be unholy forces, sitra'achra forces that latch onto it and then get their nurture from it. Therefore, we have to have within these brachas, we have a choysem, which means literally a seal, as in like a seal that prevents them from getting into the contents. So therefore, when we have a choysem of a bracha, it symbolizes the idea that we're saying not only we're asking for and we're evoking the sashpa milamayla, but we're also doing it in a way that it shouldn't leave room for any chitzonim to latch onto it and get anything out of it. And so he explains in detail why it is the various brachas over here, why some of them require that and some of them don't. He talks about, for example, the bracha yotzer ha'adam. We're saying it doesn't end with baruch because the technical reason is because it's a short bracha, but he explains is because that one symbolizes only the man, and therefore, among other things, it symbolizes only Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebichsav being obscure anyway, there's no real room for chitzonim to get involved. But the next bracha, Sheyatzo Asana B'tzalmai, is referring to the female, which also includes that it refers to Torah Shebal Peh, which is like the female to the male in that it's mekabel from the mashpia of Torah Shebichsav, and therefore now once you have that, there's more room. Once Torah Shebal Peh is more openly revealed, so there's more room for chitzonim to get involved. Therefore, that one has to end with a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Adam, to choke off that flow to them, and so forth. And he goes through many details in the brachas and explains them along these lines. Okay, so getting back to the Gemara now. Levi ikla the Bay Rebbe the Hilula did of Shimon Bray. Levi one time visited Rebbe's house at the wedding of Rebbe's son Reb Shimon. Baruch Chomish, and he made five of these brachas. He left out the bracha Yotze Ha'adam. On the other hand, Rav Asi, Ikla, the Beit of Ashi, the Hilulid, the Ma'abre, Rav Asi, a couple of hundred years later, we're talking about now, visited Rav Ashi's house during the wedding of his son Ma'ar. This is the Ma'abre of Ashi that we have throughout Shas. So, and Rav Asi, Baruch Shis, he said all six of these brachas because he included the bracha Yotze Ha'adam. So the Gemara says, Lema Bahaka Miflagi. Well, so we have, so Levi is doing five of them. He's leaving out one of the brachas. Rav Asi is doing all six. So Lema, by the way, you see an interesting point. You see that that one person did all of them, which is different. Right nowadays, we have a minhag, both by the chuppah and by the sheva brachas. You give them out to individual people, but we see over here that instead you can have one person say all of them. Yeah. As some of the mafoshim talk about, maybe even that is preferable. Maybe other things being equal, you should do it that way. The fact that we do it differently is because we want to give cover to more people. Anyway, so lema b'hoka mifli. Can we say that Levi and Rav Asi are arguing regarding the following point? We can discuss the question, was there one creation of mankind or were there two? Because you have a machloikus in the Gemara, in Eruvin, whether was it that Adam and Chava were created to begin with as fully formed beings, they were just back to back, so all Hashem had to do was separate them, or is it that Chava was created, or was it to begin with that Adam was created with a zonov? The word zonov literally means a tail, but Mephoshim talk about there's nothing to be a tail like an animal's, it just means an extra piece, and then that extra piece was removed from him and built up into Chava. So if we say that, if we say, Rashi says, that Chava, that Adam and Chava were created each as fully formed people, and they were just joined together, then we would say that's one creation. At one time, Hashem formed Adam and Chava. So therefore, you would only need one bracha for that, as opposed to if you say that Chava was built up out of the Zonav, then you would say that's almost like a separate, that's like a separate creation, and therefore you would need a separate bracha for it. Tosfos says the other way around. Chod Yitzira would be you could say the other way around. He brings from Rashbam that says the other way around. If you say that they had two separate faces and two separate bodies, then you would actually call that shtei yitziras. If you say that Adam was created and then a piece was taken out of him and transformed into Chava, then you would call that chod yitzira. Anyway, so can we say that that's the machlokas where they're arguing how Chava was created? And the answer is, loy, not necessarily. To call Alma Chodi Yitzira Havoi, we can say that both Levi and Rav Asi hold that there was only one creation, which means, according to Rashi, meaning that Adam and Chava were indeed created as fully formed people joined together back to back, and then Hashem separated them. Or according to the Rashbam and Tosfos, the other way around, that they would both agree that Hashem took a piece off Adam and made Chava from it. One says that we have to follow Hashem, that how Hashem planned it in his thoughts. Well, to begin with, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, Hashem planned that there were going to be two separate, that there were going to be two creations. And one says, so you need a separate bracha for each one. And the other one says you're going to have to go according to how it was actually done, where there was one creation. What do we mean? Kihodir of Yehuda Rami. Rav Yehuda pointed out a seeming contradiction in the psukim. First, the pasuk says that Hashem created man in his image, implying that there was just Adam. There's no Chava. Uchtiv zocher in a cave of Bram. But then it says that he created the male and female. Ha-ketzad, so what does this mean? But tchila all of machshava livres shnayim. It first it arose in Hashem's thoughts to create two. All of a sudden, nivra echad. In the end, one was created. Meaning, Hashem took it apart and created Chava. Now, what do we mean? I mean, obviously, Hashem is not like us. It's not like Hashem has to plan something and then change his mind. So the Rashba here explains that in his Pirush on Agadta, that what it means is that the Gemara is describing in metaphorical terms the idea that Hashem carefully plans things out. So in other words, to put it in human terms, you would say, like, a person thinks, is this the best way to do it? Or is this way the best way to do it? And in the end, he decides on the best course of action. So with Hashem, obviously, he doesn't have to go through that thought process, but there's still, we're representing it in human terms like that, that Hashem considered carefully what is the best way to create Adam and Chava, and then did that accordingly. There's an explanation, actually, that what it means is Hashem could have created Adam and Chava separately, in other words, completely separate. Hashem could have created an Adam out of the dirt and a Chava out of the dirt separately, where, just like with the animals, for example, Hashem didn't create any female animal by taking a piece of the male. He created a male animal and created a female animal separately. So Hashem could have done that with humanity, or in fact, Hashem could have made it that there are men and there are women and there are like two species of human that have nothing to do with each other. But instead, Hashem chose to do it like this to demonstrate that ultimately the idea is that man and woman come together, man and wife come together, and v'hoyu l'basar echad, and they become one person, as the pasuk phrases it. So therefore, to indicate that point is why Hashem did it this way, that he, so to speak, planned to create two separately. In other words, he said there's going to be, the fact is, there's going to be men and there's going to be women. And they're going to have many characteristics that are different. But he created them first as one and then split them apart in order to represent the idea. Ultimately, men and women are going to get together. Each one is going to be a half of a body and a half of a neshama, and they're going to join together. And that's going to make human beings different than every other creature on earth. So we're saying, so looking at that, whether we look at the machshava or whether we look at the maaseh is going to depend whether you have one bracha or two brachas about the creation of humanity. The Gemara goes on. Rav Ashi ikla lebei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi one time visited Rav Kahana's house. And on the first day, he said all the brachas. On the first day after the wedding, he said all the brachas. If there were ponim chadoshes, then he continued to say all the brachas by every one of the shavu brachas. And if not, then it's an increase of the simcha, but not the kind that would warrant saying extra brachas. So therefore, he didn't say all the extra brachas. So he would say, so before benching, when they made the mezuman, they would add the words shasimcha b'moinoi, which we have in the bencher, that we do that by a wedding or by a sheva brachas, we add the words shasimcha b'moinoi. And at the end, after benching, they said only the bracha asher bara, not the rest of the sheva brachas, because that's what we were saying before. If there's no ponim chadoshes, then you only say the one. So that's what we do. That's what we do now. If there's no ponim chadoshes, then you do that. And by the way, the post can talk about, we only do all of this when there's a meal, when you have, you invite. So we say hashasim kol b'moyne. So as far as the shavu brachos, we say the last one. Hashabara sasim b'simcha. So actually, I mean, the post can talk about, you know, if you have, let's say, for example, just, you know, one day, the chassan and kala and their family are sitting together and having lunch together, that then, and they're not having any extra food for it, and they're not having any extra guests for it, that doesn't necessarily warrant saying sheva brachas and shasimcha v'mona and all that. We're talking about when you have a meal where there's something special in connection with the wedding. You have extra courses, you invited extra guests, etc. So that's the kind when you would say these things. And then again, if you have ponim chadoshes, then you say all the extra brachas. Continues the Gemara. Mishiva v'ad shloshim. Now, what happens after the 7 days of sheva brachas? Whether the chosen is telling the guests that we're making this meal in honor of the wedding. So you can have, even after sheva brachas, sometimes, you know, you get together with your friends and you have a special meal for it. So whether he tells them that or not, we assume it has to do with the wedding. So therefore, mevarach shasimcha b'moinai. So therefore, you continue to say shasimcha b'moinai on that. Nowadays, we don't do that, by the way. Nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, orva kol simcha, like our simchas have been dimmed, and therefore, after the 7 days are over, then that's it. No more shasimcha b'moinai, and certainly no more sheva brachas. Continues the Gemara, Mikan va'elach, after 30 days, If he specifically tells the guests, I'm inviting you to this in connection with my wedding, that was a few weeks ago, then you add the word when you're making the mezuman. But if not, then not. After 30 days, we assume by default that it has nothing to do with the wedding. Okay, so the question is, if he is saying that it's in connection with the wedding, ad kama, ad emas, how far does it go? I mean, if he gathers them together 5 years later and says, this is in connection with my wedding, we're not going to say shasim chabamonai. So amara papi, mishmei the rabba, ad treso yavchei shaka, up till 12 months after the wedding. So the dinya de gemara is like this. During the 7 days after the wedding, definitely they say that during the 7 days after the wedding, they say shasim chabamonai before benching, and one or more of the Sheva Brachas after it, so only one if we don't upon him Chadashas, and all seven if we do. Then from 7 to 30 days, no more Sheva Brachas, but you would still say Shasim Chavamonai. And then after 30 days, until 12 months, if he tells them that this is in honor of my recent wedding, then we still say Shasim Chavamonai. Again, in Shulchan Aruch, it says those things of after 7 days no longer apply. We don't do Shasim Chavamonai, and we don't do Sheva Brachas anymore after 7 days, regardless.
Why?
Because that's what we're saying. Orva kol simcha, like our simchas during our long galus, have been dimmed. So we can't really say that after 7 days, we have such a tremendous simcha that we should be saying, Sha simcha b'moinai. The Bach, by the way, mentions in connection with this, he says there's a point during the wedding when you have you have men and women together over there at some point during the chuppah or after the chuppah or whatever, and he says you shouldn't say shasim kumamonai there because you don't say shasim kumamonai when you have the yetzahara is involved, and when you have men and women mingling, then you have a degree of yetzahara, so therefore you shouldn't say shasim kumamonai there. This is the mocker. I don't remember exactly what the case was. There's at some point during the wedding festivities when there tend to be men and women mixed. I don't remember exactly what the box says in the scenario, but he says you wouldn't say shasim kumamonai on that. So in the velt, they're not always in the velt. They don't hold necessarily that during the wedding simcha, that during the meal, you necessarily need to have that separation. It's very common, even by frum weddings, even by weddings of Bnei Torah, many times you have family seating. But by all weddings in general, we're careful about that. And that's based on this Bach, that we usually have separate seating for the men and the women by all wedding. And that's based on that Bach. So some non-Chabad weddings obviously do, but some of them not. I think I've seen, for example, that Moshe Feinstein, by his own children's weddings, had family seating. So it's definitely allowed. You know, there is definitely room to allow it, al pi halacha. But nevertheless, we try to be careful with that, and that's based on this Bach. Going along. Now let's go to the other end. We're talking about what happens during the days and weeks and months after the wedding. What happens before the wedding? At what point do we start saying Shasim Chabamayim? So the Gemara says, Amar Papi Miki Ramu Sari Basinta. Once they put barley into the bowl. So Rashi explains into the trough of water. So Rashi explains the process of making beer, and very appropriate that our papa is talking about this, because we find the different places in Chas that our papa made his living as a brewer. Anyway, part of the process of preparing for the wedding then is they take barley and start soaking it to make beer. So the papa says once they do that, then already the wedding preparations are underway. Therefore, you can already start saying Shasim Chabamonai. Again, we don't do that nowadays, but this is Medina de Gemara. This is how it would be. Rashi says a second explanation is they would take a flower pot and plant barley seeds in it as a simen tov for the chosin and kala, that they should have period verivia, like the way these seeds are going to grow.
Hopefully those seeds do grow.
Maybe that's why they stopped the minhag. Maybe that's why you don't hear that minhag anymore. Maybe there were people who didn't have such a green thumb. Anyway, whatever it is, the point is once you do that, then already the wedding preparations are underway. Therefore, you can already say shasim from a minor. So the Moses says, Aini, is that so? Vahara Papa Iasek Abba Marbre. We find that a papa arranged a shidduch for his son Abba Mar. Now there's two different explanations among the Mephoshim. Does it mean the shidduch or does it mean the kiddushin? Anyway, Ubarich Meshas Erosin. So he made the bracha already at the time of Erosin. So maybe Erosin means the actual Erosin as in the kiddushin. Maybe it means even earlier when they're doing the shidduch. Whatever it is, so you already had, and they're already saying Shasim Chabamonai then. So that's before they even start soaking the barley to prepare for the wedding. And the answer is shining a papa to have a triachle. The difference is your papa already had everything prepared in advance. So therefore, so he, when he's marrying off his son, then he could already be saying chasim hormona already then, because he doesn't need to start preparing things for the wedding. He was rich. He already had everything prepared already. And the Gemara tells similarly, Ravina iasek le lebrei beira chaviva. Ravina arranged for a shidduch with his son in the household of Rav Chaviva. So his son was going to be marrying Rav Chaviva's daughter. Ubarich mashas erusin. He made the bracha. He said chasim hormona already at the time of the erusin. Where again, the erusin over here may mean the shidduch rather than kiddushin. Omar, because Ravina said kim lebigavayu delay hadri bahu. I know for a fact. Now he didn't have everything ready yet. But he said, I know that the family of Rav Chaviva are not going to change their mind. And once they decided to go through with the shidduch, then they're going to stick to it. But the Gemara says, lo yistaya milsa. In fact, what wound up happening is it wasn't help min hashamayim. It was not basheret min hashamayim, but hadri bahu, and they did end up changing their mind and not going through with the shidduch. So in retrospect, in other words, we're saying that Ravina maybe shouldn't have said chasim for the moment. And that may be a reason why nowadays we don't, because there is always the possibility. We don't even do kiddushin until the actual wedding itself. We do kiddushin and nisuin back to back under the chuppah. So there is always the possibility before that they may break the engagement. It's a serious thing to do, but nevertheless, it could be done. So therefore, maybe that's why we don't say shasim chavamoni before that.
Well, you can't say it.
Well, so so that's what we're saying. So if we say that erusin in the Gemara over here means in a looser sense the shidduch, then maybe even in principle, once the shidduch has been decided on, maybe in principle you could already say shasim chamamayne. But we're saying that we don't do that. The Gemara continues. Going back now to Sheva Brachas, Reb Tachlifa Bamarava Ikra Lebavel. Reb Tachlifa from the west, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, one time visited Bavel. Boruch Shis Arichta, and when he said the six brachas that we said the nusach of at the top of the Amud, he said all six of them as long brachas. So we said that a few of them are short brachas. We said that Shahakol Baruch Voda and Yotza Adam are short brachas, but he instead said a nusach of them as a longer bracha, ending with Baruch Ata Hashem, something or other. The less Hilchsa Kabasay, but the halacha is not like him, because as we said before, a couple of them are short brachas, and then the other ones are long brachas. Similarly, the Gemara mentions Rav Chaviva ikla beimahula. Rav Chaviva, whether that's the same Rav Chaviva before, who we talked about the broken shidduch, we don't know. But anyway, ikla beimahula. He one time visited by he was there one time by a bris milah. Baruch shasimcha b'moinei. He said shasimcha b'moinei before benching. But again, the less hilchas akabasei, the halacha is not like that. We don't say shasimcha b'moinei by a bris. Mishum the treaty, because the people are disturbed. There's not a total simcha. The islet sarali inuka, because after all, the child is in pain. So therefore, we don't say shas simcha b'moinei. For the same reason, by the way, in minag Ashkenaz, we don't say shech yonu by a bris either. For the same reason, Sfaradim have a minag that they do say shech yonu by it. But there is a discussion among the poskim in that case. Can you say shas simcha b'moinei by a pidyon haben? There's no tzar of the baby, and there is simcha. So does that warrant saying shas simcha b'moinei? L'maisa, you don't see people doing that. Now that we talked about the nusach and the number of the brachas, let's talk about the number of people. We said before that you need to have a minyan, so let's talk about the details of that. Amar of Nachman Amar Rab, chasanim min haminyan, ve'en avela min haminyan. The chosin counts as one of the 10, but the oval does not count as one of the 10, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara what we mean. Where do we need a minyan in connection with an oval that we're saying that the oval himself doesn't count? We talked about yesterday, by the way, Apichsidus, there's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe that explains the Pnimiyus Inyanim, since, as we said, the brachas, Birkas Chasanim, is drawing down bracha and amshacha milamayda through the chosin to the kala. So therefore, the chosin himself is one of the chosin himself represents one of the 10 spheres. Specifically, he represents Tiferes, and the kala represents Malchus. So therefore, that's the deeper reason why you need a minion over there, because you have the ten spheres, and therefore the chosin himself counts as one of them, because the chosin, after all, is representing one or more of the spheres. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Chassan and Ba'avela min a minion, that both the Chassan and the Oval counts towards a minion. The Gemara says, so what's the problem? Masnisa koromis alei de Rab. So you're trying to bring a Braisa to contradict Rab. Rab, Tana hu poli. Rab is a Tana. He's able to argue with a Braisa. So therefore, so now we don't use that answer very often. and we use it really only in connection with Braises. We don't really say that Rav can argue with a Mishnah. But when it comes to Braises, especially Braises that were composed during his times, then yes, he's able to argue with them. Okay, the Gemara says, on the other hand, Itmar. So now, though, there was said that there's more. Amar of Yitzchok, Amar of Yechanan, Chassanim min Aminyan, Ve'en Avela min Aminyan. So now you have the same Braise, a Mesvi, Chassanim Ba'Avela min Aminyan. Now we can't answer Rabbi Yechanan as a Tana, and he can argue against that, because Rabbi Yechanan is not a Tana, Rabbi Yechanan is an Amora, and he can't argue against the Braise. And the answer is, Kitanyahi, Birkas Amozin. The difference is that that Braise is talking about Birkas Amozin. When you have, when you're benching and you're making a mezuman, the oval, after all, is chayev and all mitzvahs. So therefore, he can count as part of the mezuman. So if you have three or you have 10, then the oval can be one of those. Ki ka'omer Rabbi Yechanan b'shura. Rather, what Rabbi Yechanan is talking about is the shura. After the levaya, they have a row of people around the oval. So Rashi says they have the oval sit among them. In other places, the implication is that the oval walks down the line anyway, and then they say Mahamokim Yinachem Eschem, and the shura needs to be 10. So then the oval himself doesn't count as one of the 10. So Tosfos says the fact is it is a bit of a doichet to say that, which is why the Gemara didn't answer that for Rav. For Rav, the Gemara preferred to say that Rav just argues with the Braisa. When it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, we have no choice because he can't argue with a Braisa, and therefore we had no choice but to say that we're talking about two different things. We do find, by the way, Rashi says, even though as much as Rabbi Yochanan had respect for Rav, we often find throughout Shas that Rabbi Yochanan argues with Rav, so he doesn't have the ability to say, you know what, I may be only an Amora, but Rav is a Tana, and I hold like Rav, because we don't necessarily. We often find that Rabbi Yochanan does not rely on Rav and argues on him. So we're talking about two different things. Now, Tosfos says that, no, one second. Rashi says that Kitanya Hi B'Birkas HaMazon means that the oval counts as one of the three or the 10 for a Mizuman. Then the word. What are you saying that he counts as one of the 10? Say explicitly he's chayiv in mitzvahs. And Tosfos has a couple of other questions on it. So rather, what it is further down on the Amud, we're going to say that there's a Gemara in Brachas that talks about that when they bench at an oval house, they add some lines to benching. You can actually find in some Sidurim, you can find some lines that you add at the beginning of the bracha, Tov Ameta, the fourth bracha of benching, talking about Nichum Avelim and justifying Hashem's judgment and so forth, Tziduk Adin. So then the point is, Tosfos says, you would think that maybe the oval doesn't count as one of the 10 for that, because after all, it's meant to be Menachem Him. Nevertheless, we're saying that he does count to that, because after all, fundamentally, that bracha is praising Hashem, and that the oval can do as well. Only when it comes to the shura, where other people are standing and saying to him, I'm mocking Menachem Eschem, then he can't be one of those 10, because how can he be Menachem himself? So that's Tosfos' explanation. So the Gemara says, so if you're going to explain like that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the shura and saying the oval doesn't count towards that, and the Braisa is talking about benching and saying the oval does count towards that. So what about this that Rabbi Yitzchok says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? Mevorchin birkas chasanim ba'asor, v'chasanim in a minyan. When you say the birkas chasanim, you have to have a minyan, and the chosim counts as one of the 10. Or birkas avelim ba'asor, v'ein avelim in a minyan. And the bracha of avelim, you also need 10, but the avelim don't count as one of the 10. So what do you mean? Bracha b'shura mi'ika. There's no bracha there by the shura. There's hamokim minachem eskim, which is not a bracha. A bracha implies something where you're saying Baruch Atah Hashem. So there's no bracha that's being said over there. So you can't say that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the shura. On the face of it, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the braisa, and you're back to the question that the braisa is that he's talking about rather benching. And then in that case, the braisa contradicts him because it says that the abedim do count. Ella. No, rather we have to answer ki ka'omer Rabbi Yochanan barachav. Rather, that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the Birkas Rechava. So after the Levaya, you have the Sudas Havra, you have the first meal after Levaya, which the Oval doesn't eat his own food. Other people bring him food. The minhag in those days was that they would have that meal in the city square. We learned about it in Mard Cotton a while back. And then they would say a bracha. They would say actually several brachas, as we're going to have further on in the Gemara, in connection with the oval and in connection with the Jewish people in general and several other things. So that bracha, there you have actual brachas that involve Baruch Atah Hashem. So those were saying the oval doesn't count as, so those, Rabbi Yochanan is saying the oval doesn't count as one of the 10. So Tosfos discusses whether the Gemara is supposed to be Ella, has the Gemara changed its mind, or is the Gemara just augmenting its answer before that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about when he says Birkas Hamazon, we mean specifically the Birkas Hamazon in the Rechava. Anyway, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that you need to have 10 people there aside from the Oval in order to say those brachas. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela hodu amir Yitzchak amir Rabbi Yochanan mevorchim birkas chasanim ba'asara kol shiva v'chasanim min aminyan." But what about Rabbi Yitzchak further says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that when it comes to birkas chasanim, you need a minyan and you say it throughout 7 days, as we said before, that you say sheva brachas every one of the days v'chasanim min aminyan, and the chasan counts as one of the 10 each time. Or birkas habelim ba'asara kol shiva, but birkas habelim takes place also. You need a minyan of 10 for all 7 days. Ve'ein habelim in a minyan, but the oval doesn't count as one of the 10. So what do you mean? Birkas rechava kol shiva mi'ika. How do you have birkas rechava? You only have the surah sabrah once after the levaya. It doesn't continue to be for 7 days. So what if Rabbi Yochanan is talking about birkas rechava? Then what does he mean by saying all 7 days? And the answer is mashkachas lava ponim chadoshes. You have, again, if it was ponim chadoshes, so the same way as we were saying about ponim chadoshes, when it comes to a sheva brachas, here you have a similar thing. If you have someone who is there now during the shiva and participating in a meal, and he wasn't there by the levaya, and he wasn't there by any of the other days, then yes, you would say the brachas that you would say in the rechava, you say again during the meal now. Now we don't have any of that minhag b'chlal. We don't say the birkas rechava in general. We have a surah sabrah, but we don't say any special brachas by it, and certainly not in the days afterwards. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan means. In other words, that you can have a case when you're saying the brachas throughout the 7 days of the shiva, but doing that, but for each time you're going to do that, you need to have a minyan. By the way, the post can talk about, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, when we said before that if you don't ponim chadoshes by a sheva brachas, then you don't say all the brachas, you only say the one. So to say the one, actually, you don't need a minyan for that. So for that, you need three people over there in order to say the bracha ashabara, but you don't need 10. If you don't have ponim chadoshes and you don't have a minyan, that's fine. During the days of sheva brachas, you can still say the one bracha ashabara, as long as you have three. Okay, so the Gemara says, so where is an example that you see that the brachas of birkas rechava, these special brachas that were said after the levaya, that those are repeated during the days afterwards? So we have the example. Ki hod rabchir ba'aba makli brei d'reshlok, b'nei d'reshlok ashaba. Rabchir ba'aba was the melamed who taught Rishlokish's children mikra, which is chumash and the rest of Tanakh. Va'amila masli brei d'reshlokish ba'aba. Another version is that he was the one who taught them mishnayis. Anyway, shachiv la yunuka, and one of his children passed away. One of Rabchir ba'aba's children passed away. So yoyma kamala ozalagabe. So on the first day, Rishlokish did not go to visit Rabchir ba'aba. Lamachar, the next day, Dabre, the Yehuda bar Nachmeni Maturgamani. The next day, Reb Shlokish took along his Maturgaman, Yehuda bar Nachmeni, and they went to be Menachem Abel. So the point is, the point is that there was Ponim Chadoshes now. Now Reb Shlokish and Yehuda and Yehuda bar Nachmeni had not been there before. So now Reb Shlokish says to Yehuda bar Nachmeni, who was his Maturgaman, Kum Ema Milsa Kol Kovel Yunuka. Get up and say something regarding the child. In other words, say tanchumim about the child. And to a certain extent, Maharshal says, also it's going to be really like to examine why did this child pass away. So Pasach ba'amar. So Yehuda bar Nachmeni started saying as follows. The Pasach says, Vayar Hashem vayinatz mikas bonim uvnoisav. Hashem saw and he was angry. Hashem saw what the fathers did. Vayinatz, and he was angry. Mikas because of the anger. Bonim uvnoisav, that and the sons and the daughters, meaning that Hashem caused that the sons and daughters passed away because of that. The point is that it says bonov uvnoisav, showing, in other words, that we're talking about the children passed away because of the averus of their fathers. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a second. One second. What kind of nechama is that for Rabbi Ba'aba? So hold that thought, and we'll get back to that. Rabbi Ba'aba is one of the Amoraim. Yeah. So how could you say such a thing in his presence? So the Gemara will explain in a few lines what Yehuda ben Nachmeni is getting at with this. Anyway, so he starts by explaining that. So he explains, Dur Sha'ovis Menatz M'Lakadosh Baruch Hu, when you have a generation where the father's anger Hashem, Koyas Abneim Balbnei Seim. Then Hashem gets angry at their young sons and daughters, Umesim Kshem Tanim, and they pass away while they're young. The Gemara talks about in Shabbos. We know in general you have that the Bonim lo yumsu al obis for obis lo yumsu al bonim. Then in general, Hashem doesn't punish one generation for the averus of the other. But the Gemara explains that little children are an exception, since little children are considered basically the property of their parent. Then therefore, they can be included the same way as Hashem could make the person lose his nechosim the same way this. Rahman al-Flan. Again, the Gemara is going to say in a couple of seconds, in a few lines, so how is he saying such a thing? And then the presence of an oval saying such a harsh thing. So we'll get back to that shortly. But first, the Ikadam, Ribocher Abba, another version is, so the first version is that the child of Rav Chiya bar Abba that passed away was young. So therefore, Rav Yehuda bar Nachmani can say that. A second version is that he was a bacher, that he was already a young man. Now in that case, then we don't say anymore that Hashem punishes them for the averus of their fathers. So therefore, according to that second version, Yehuda bar Nachmani quoted something different. The Pasuk says, Pasuk in Yeshaya, Al Kain, because of this, which the previous Pesukim again are talking about the Avedis that that Jewish people are doing, Al Bachurav lo Yismach Hashem, Hashem will not be happy with his Bachurim, meaning Hashem would like to be happy and be able to give them goodness in this world, but now he has to punish them, and he's, so to speak, upset about that, sad about that. He won't have rachmanus on his widow, on his orphans and on his widows. Ki kulei chonef, because all of the people are chonef. They're all chanfening, they're all flattering the rishoyim and telling them you're doing good when they're not. Umeira, and they're doing badly. V'chol peh dova nivola, and every mouth is speaking nivol peh, bad, dirty language, unclean language. B'chol zois, with all of this, the Navi continues, despite the fact that Hashem has caused such disasters to happen to you, loy shov ap, you haven't done shuva, therefore loy shov ap, Hashem's anger has not been withdrawn, but oid yod nituya, and his hand is still outstretched. In other words, the Navi is saying there's still more punishments to come if you don't do shuva. So the Gemara interjects, my... It doesn't have to be in order to gain necessarily, although often it is. But yes, chanifa means when you tell, the Gemara talks about in Sota in particularly, when you see a person doing something wrong and you tell them it's okay, what you're doing is fine and then it's good and I approve of it, that's called chanuf. Doesn't even have to be that the person is a rosha per se. You have the Gemara in Sota tells over there, for example, how Agrippa Samelach was crying, realizing that he doesn't deserve to be the king because he's not descended from Jews. He's descended from Gerim. And the people told him, Achinu, don't worry, Achinu Ata, you're a brother. And the Gemara calls him Chanefim for it because they should have told him, you know what, you have a point. Hey, you Taka don't deserve to be the king, even though he was a good guy and he was very good to the Jews and all, but still that was Chanufa to tell him that you're feeling bad, but don't worry, it's not really an Aveda. They shouldn't have done it. Anyway, so the Gemara says, my va'oid yodin toya. What does that last phrase, Hashem's hand is still outstretched? What does that specifically mean? Amar of Chanan Barab, it means like this. Hakol yodin kala lama nichnas ala chuppah. Everybody knows why the kala is going into the chuppah. We know what's going to happen after they're in the chuppah. Again, not necessarily the chuppah as we're talking about nowadays, but more like the yichud room and the first night when we're together. We all know exactly what's going to happen. Ella, nevertheless, kolam nabol piv, when a person says nivol peh, when a person speaks unclean language about that, and he allows words of nivola to go out of his lips, he talks like that, afilu nechtem like zaudinish or shivim shana latova, then even if previously he had a zaudin on him that he was going to have 70 years of goodness, nepach olav lera, it gets transformed to him for good. It's transformed him for bad. So the point is, in other words, Rashi says that's va'oid, we're darshaning the word va'oid as related to the word va'ed, which means forever. So forever, meaning throughout the person's life. What's the normal lifespan of a person? 70 years. So it means that even if there had been a gzaudin melamayla, that he's going to have a life of goodness, but now he loses all of that because of this. Maushah adds the point that basically Hashem doesn't give bad. So what ain ra yod milamayla is the medrash phrase. What it is Hashem, but what it is Hashem, so to speak, stretches out his hand and protects a person from the various negative things in the world, and therefore a person has goodness. When Hashem takes that away, then Hashem allows a person to be led by nature, and nature often is red in tooth and claws, the expression goes, that a person, there's all kinds of disasters and things that are going on in the world. So therefore, va'od yadu netuya means that Hashem is removing his hand. Hashem is stretching out, like removing his hand from over the person, so to speak, and moving it elsewhere. And therefore, now the person is exposed to all kinds of troubles where up until now, Hashem's hand was shielding him from them. The Taz, by the way, has an interesting point. He says, why the double expression? So the Taz points out, there's a Taz in a different context, actually, in Hilchos, in the Halachos of Yayin Nesach, of all places, the Taz says, why the double expression? He says, because sometimes it can happen inadvertently. A person says, you know how, you know, it is with all of us, you know, something happens and inadvertently you say a curse word or something. We're not talking about that. We're talking about where a person, he knows full well what he's saying and he says it deliberately. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about where a person inadvertently says a bad word when they bang their thumb with a hammer or something.
So he's cooking it.
So the question is also an achumit suri komitzayer life. So what's going on over here? Rabbi Shlokish and Yehuda Barachmeni are supposed to be there, but not to be menachem avol. Sounds like instead they're causing pain to Rabbi Chiya Abba. They're telling him, according to the two versions, either that you did averus and therefore your son was, and therefore your son died because of that, or that he himself did averus and therefore he was born. What kind of a thing is that to say to an avol? The answer is hachikam alei. What Yehuda Barachmeni means to express by that, choshiv atle it pusi adora. It's not that you yourself did Averus. You are important enough in Hashem's eyes that you are being held to account for the Averus of the generation. We know, Rashi brings from a Gemara elsewhere, that Hashem sometimes does that. He brings punishment on the tzaddikim of the generation, and with that, they're mechaper for the rest of the generation. Maharsha says, in particular, what you have is the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that's in particular when the tzaddikim are able to be moiche in the people, and they're not. So therefore, the point is that there is a nichum over here in the sense that Yehuda Bar Nachmeni is telling him, it's not that you yourself did Averus, it's not that your son did Averus, you, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, or your son, as the case may be, if his son was a bachur, are already important enough in Hashem's eyes as tzaddikim that you are being used as the kapara for the rest of the Jewish people, for them doing these kinds of Averus.
And there is still a fault in them.
Well, so according to Maharsha, there's still a fault in them that they could have been moicha and they weren't. But nevertheless, we would still say, we wouldn't say that about the average person. So therefore, it still shows that the level that they're on. So that's not a bracha yet. We said before that there's a bracha that you said. So this was nichum avet. Now we get to the actual brachas. We said before that there was a bracha, that there are special brachas that you say during the nichum avelim, and we said that if there are ponim chadoshes, then you say them. So what is that? So now the Shlokish says to Yehuda ben Achmeni, stand up and say something in honor, in praise of Hashem, a bracha. So Yehuda Bar Nachmeni got up and started saying the bracha, Hakel HaGadol, the great God, Beroiv Gudloi, in his tremendous greatness, Adir V'chozak, mighty and powerful, Adir V'chozak, Hakel HaGadol, Beroiv Gudloi, Hashem is great in his tremendous greatness, Adir V'chozak, Beroiv Noroiz, mighty and powerful with his tremendous Noroiz, Mechayim Mesim Mamamari, he revives the dead with his word, he does great things that can't even be fathomed, and wondrous things without number, and finishes off. So that was a bracha. That was a bracha of Siduk Adin to recognize that Hashem is the one who runs the world. Maharsha explains. Now you have there were people who had the view that, as we know from various places in the Gemara, that was a popular view in those days, that Chas v'Shalom, there are two powers in the world. There's one who kills and a different one who makes alive. So therefore, this bracha is stressing not like that. Is saying that Hashem is great and Hashem is also awesome. That Hashem does both. That Hashem brings alive and Hashem puts to death. And Hashem is also mechayim mesim. And that Hashem does things in cheker that we can't even fathom, and nifloys people things that we can't even begin to understand. So therefore, so the whole bracha was stressing the point that the same Hashem who kills is the same one who gives life, and the same one who will give life by tchias mesim. Next. Then Rish Lakish says to Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, now get up and say a bracha about the Avelin, possibly like to as a bracha that Hashem should comfort them. Pasach ba'amar. So he started saying, Achenu hamyugoyim hamaduk, Achenu hamyugoyim, our brothers who are worn out, hamadukoyin, who are saddened, be'evol hazeh, because of this avemos, tnu levavchem lachta lesois, put your hearts to investigate over here what happened, to realize what's going on over here. Zois hi emetis la'ad, this death is something that lasts, that lasts for all, forever. People die all the time. Nosib hu m'sheshes mei b'reshes, it's a path that people, that everybody since sheshes mei b'reshes has to eventually walk. Rabin shosu, many have drunk up until now from this cup of bitterness throughout Tanakh. We often find that punishment and disasters are spoken of in the metaphor of a cup of bitterness that a person drinks. So many people have drunk from that cup. Rabim Yishtu, many will drink from it in the future, because until Mashiach comes, people are going to be dying. Kemishtei Rishonim Kach Mishtachronim, just as the earlier ones drank, so will the later ones drink. Achenu, our brothers, Baal Mechomis Yinacham Eschem, may the master of comfort, Hashem, comfort you. And you finish off Baruch Menachem Aveilim, you finish off Baruch Ata Hashem, that is, Menachem Aveilim, the one who comforts the Aveilim. So that's the bracha. And Marsha explains that you have to realize most people pass away because of their own averus or somebody else's averus, as we said before. Then you have the rare people who pass away without averus at all, only be'etiyah shel nachash. So he says, think into what chet caused it, whether their own or somebody else's. If you can't find, then nevertheless, you should realize that you have those exceptional people who passed away only be'etiyah shel nachash, only because of the chet yitzadas, and therefore saying that because of that, many people have gone through that, and many people will go through that in the future. So in other words, realize that you're not alone. This is, you know, tzoras rabim, chatzi nechama. When you realize you're sharing a sorrow with other people, that itself makes you feel better. However, Amar Abaya, Rabim Shosu Lema, by all means, you can mention in the bracha that many people have drunk from this cup of bitterness before. Rabim Yishtu Loy Lema, but you should not say many will drink, because that's opening your mouth to the Satan, as the Gemara is going to say. Similarly, Mishonim Lema, Mishtachronim Loy Lema. You can mention the drinking of the first ones, of the earlier ones, but don't mention the drinking of the later ones. Don't talk about that there's going to be death in the future. A person should never open up his mouth to the Satan. So in other words, you shouldn't be talking like that and giving room for the Satan to be makatrig, to accuse and say, you know what, their taka should be more of it in the future. Amr of Yosef Maikra, where do we see such an idea in a pasuk? You have the pasuk in Yeshaya and the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazon, where the Navi says on behalf of the Jewish people, "Kisdoim ha'yinu la'amora daminu." If Hashem hadn't left us a little bit of a remnant, we would have been like Sdoim and Amora, completely destroyed. And then Maya hader lay. And what does Hashem answer the Navi? You know what? Yeah, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Ktinei Sdoim. Remember, listen to the word of Hashem, you princes of Sdoim and you people of Amora. In other words, yes, that once they mentioned that we would have been like Sdoim and Amora and we were saved only by Hashem's kindness, then that gives room for the Yetzer Hara to say, you know what? You guys are in fact like Sdoim and Amora and you Taka don't deserve to be saved. So in other words, when a person speaks negatively, then it arouses the Midas Adin. We know many examples of that. We have, for example, the thing in Hayom Yom where the one person tells the other, I would tear you up like a fish. We know the opposite of it, Trach Gut Vatzayin Gut, and many other examples of that. Nobody's here yet anyway, we may as well. So next, Omalei. So then the Rish Lakish tells Yehuda Bar Nachmani, Kum Eima Milsa Kenegan Menachem Avelim. Now say another bracha in honor of the people who came to be Menachem Avel. So Pasach V'Amar, he starts saying, Achenu Goyim L'Chasadim B'nei Goyim L'Chasadim. Our brothers, the ones who do kindness, who do Gmilas Chasadim, and are the descendants of Goyim L'Chasadim, Hamachzikim B'Vriseh Shal Avraham Avinu, who uphold the covenant of Avraham Avinu, Shenema Ki Yedatim Manashay Tzabas Bonav Avraham, where the Pasach says that Hashem says, I know and I appreciate Avraham because he teaches his sons to do Tzedakah and Chesed. So he says, Achenu Bala Gmul Yishalom L'Chan Gmulchem. Our brothers, may the one who has all the gmul, who has all the recompense, all the rewards, may he pay you back your reward, your deserved reward for being Menachem Avelim, Baruch Atah Meshalem HaGmul. And he finishes off with the bracha, thanking Hashem for giving people the reward that they deserve. Marsha explains this is, we know that the that Nichama Veilam is a chesed shal emes, it exceeds the it's much greater than other kinds of gmilas hasadim, so therefore it deserves a special, therefore it deserves a special bracha. And Omalei, then he says to him, Kum Eima Milsa Kenegad Ko Yisrael, say a bracha now in honor of the rest of the Jewish people. Pasach Ba'amar, so he says the bracha, Ribon Ha'olamim, P'dei V'Hatzil, save and rescue, Malet, Hoysha, these are all different words for saving, Amcha Yisrael, your people Yisrael, Min Adever, from pestilence, from plague, or Min Acherav, and from the sword, or Min Abiza, and from being despoiled, from being robbed, and which are various kinds of conditions and diseases that affect the crops, and from any other kind of troubles that would be aroused and coming into the world, before we even call, you should answer us. And he finishes off, blessed are you Hashem, who holds back the Magefa. So this is... Marsha says, this is the final bracha of the sequence. We're saying this person passed away naturally. We're asking Hashem to save us from all kinds of unnatural deaths and disasters and things like that. And we specifically, the Gemara, specifically, there are four kinds of things: Deber, Chever, Cherev, Rav and Biza, and therefore Biza in particular, Marsha says, refers to being captured and taken prisoner by enemies, which includes all the other ones. A person who's captured by Goyim, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, is in danger of dying of disease or of hunger or of the sword. So we're mentioning those four, and therefore, in keeping with that, we say four expressions. So that's the sequence of brachas that we say in a Beis Ha'Avel, and so that's what we mean, that if there's ponim chadashas, then you say them. You say them each time there are new people over there. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.